Hello, everybody. This is Log Chat Podcast, third edition. We are back. This is Anton Chuvakin, principal at Security Warrior Consulting, blogger, writer, and a longtime log fan. Previously, I worked at key log management and SIM companies. Today on the podcast, we have a guest host, Rafael Marti. Rafi?
Hello, everybody. I'm Rafael Marti, as Anton just said. I'm co-hosting today. I'm the co-founder of Logly. We're a logging as a service startup in San Francisco. We're basically building a cloud-based log analysis platform. I've been in the logging space for more than 10 years at this point, have worked at SIM and log companies over the past years here.
By the way, you also have to add, you're playing Andrew Hay on TV today.
I guess that's what I'm. I probably can't really do his accent. I love how he says about, and I don't think I can really imitate him on that.
Well, you're going to have to because you're a guest host. Not a guest, mind you, but a guest host.
Okay.
So let's start from the rumors and news section. I'll start from an old rumor. Rather, it's news now. It was a rumor for a while. ArcSight acquisition by HP has closed. And guess what? Now their website even says an HP company. How fun is that?
It's awesome. That's what was my first company, or it's kind of second company in this SIEM space. We're 40 people, small office. It's awesome to see how that really came to fruition and just got sold for that much money. It was quite a chunk of money, actually.
Yes, $1.65 billion. Yep. That's a big amount of money. So another bit of news I want to mention is that the Log Management Central is a new website devoted to login, I guess, which was launched with much fanfare last week. And I'm going to mention it because this is the site which hosts my log tool comparison checklist, which is also a bit of news, I guess. Small bit of news.
What's the URL for that?
It's logmanagementcentral.com.
Great.
And this is where my new log tool comparison checklist sits. So people who want to use some kind of a framework to compare tools, whether open source or commercial, can grab the checklist off that site or off my blog, and you're going to have that.
Cool.
Another bit of news is that PCI DSS 2.0 is out. And in fact, PCI DSS changes do not really cover login that much. But PA DSS, its sister standard, now sports its own login clause. Moreover, payment applications now have to have centralized login, just like all other stuff. So look for more application logs in your future. Another news that we didn't cover last time was that Verizon's PCI report is out. And it has some interesting login bits of information inside the report. So that's also counts as login news because, as you know, PCI DSS mandates login, and people are notoriously bad with doing both login and log management for PCI DSS. So reports highlight some of this. You can grab the report at Verizon Business Security blog. You can find out the URL.
Cool.
Other bit of news, actually this counts as a rumor. Could you imagine that VCs are still funding log management companies today in the friggin' 2010?
Well, we got lucky ourselves at Logly. So, but yes, you're right. There are rumors. They're almost facts that there's a couple of other companies out there that got some money. It's going to be an interesting year, I guess. Hopefully, that also means that there is a lot of innovation coming down the pipe and not just re-implementation of the same things all over again.
Yep. And by the way, this some money thing actually counts in, you know, millions, not just hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
I hear some big amounts being handed out. Yep.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, our price is off official. We raised $4.5 million, and the other rumor for this other company is around $5 million. So yeah, there's some money being spent.
Yep. So any other news related to logs and login, Rafi?
Well, the other day I came across something interesting, a tool set or a library for Python. It's called Twiggy, T-W-I-G-G-Y. Peter Fine basically went ahead and kind of built a new logging library. Python had a default logging library for the longest time, but Peter was kind of complaining and started his own new framework that is a more Pythonic approach, and I really applaud that. I think it's a super great thing that people are going ahead, and if they have issues with existing libraries, that they actually go ahead and fix them. And so that's why I wanted to mention this. I think it's a great approach, and he's very open to new input if anyone out there wants to provide some input to him.
So what's the way to find it?
Twiggy, just Google for Twiggy and Python, I think. It's a little longer URL to find it.
Does it cover what to log or only how to log?
It's mostly how to log. Touch with him to kind of build a little more extensive framework that's optional to use, that also kind of enforces kind of what content there is going to be in a log record itself, and hopefully also helps a little more guiding the developers on when to log.
Yep, that makes sense. I mean, what to log would likely be covered by the standards such as CE, which we mention pretty much every podcast, of course. But how to log is also important for developers because they might not want to study complicated XML schemas. They just want to get a library and do it.
Exactly right. And so far, mostly the approach, as we know really well in syslog, right, is just you write a string, no structure at all. And when I said Pythonic approach here is really that Twiggy sort of encourages you to use an object-oriented approach. And initially, you basically say, assign a certain object to this logger that always logs the username that's logged in right now in the current session, for example, and then you just add on top of that. And that's really super interesting. So he's taking a slightly different approach that's hopefully going to work out a little better.
Yep. So that means hopefully people would log more inside their Python applications. So let's go to the main theme for today. We wanted to step away from collection, normalization, stuff like that. We wanted to talk about building a business case for log management and maybe for SIM as well. I get asked a lot, how do I justify log management? How do I explain to my boss? I know I need it, but I cannot always clearly explain to my boss or my boss's boss or maybe to the CIO or CSO that I need login, I need log management. So today I want to cover some bits about how to actually do that, how to justify log management.
Yeah, I think that's a good topic. If I put myself into the shoes of the COO of a software as a service company here, I need visibility into what's happening in my infrastructure, right? And one of the ways we gain that visibility is really through implementing logging throughout all of the different application tiers, be that in the front end, the middleware, the kind of processing back end, the database, and that really helps me gaining visibility into the different pieces of things.
But you'd be a really enlightened CIO. What if your boss, the CIO, is really not, and you have to defend your choice or the spending your budget, and maybe you've used the compliance argument one too many times because, you know, I mean, we all know that people just use blindly point towards, say, PCI DSS or some other regulatory standard, and they say, we got to have login because it's written in there. But it's getting kind of weak in many circles.
Right.
And hoping that you're going to have an enlightened boss who would just know that you have to have log management and login is kind of it's tough.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, in general, what I'm kind of trying to do is I'm sort of partitioning this into different use cases and try to show the value from there. And some of the use cases are basically I want to do debugging and I need the log files to see what is happening if I interact with my software. The second one is troubleshooting. So if I have even a production system running and I need to, like someone calls in and says, hey, the system is broken or it's slow or, hey, did my transaction go through? Then I can go in and do the troubleshooting through the log files to kind of track what the user has been doing throughout the session. Then the third one is monitoring, where I want to see a little more proactively what is going on in my systems. I can monitor, for example, latencies by logging them inside of the log record. So what we do in every web request, I actually change the Apache configuration so that I see the latency of every call and I can graph that over time to figure out what the latencies are. Now, I'm giving you examples here sort of from the performance or system management kind of point of view, but you can apply that to security. So the troubleshooting part would, for example, be forensic investigation. The monitoring part is more the situational awareness, where you want to know what's the current state of my network, are there any attacks going on anywhere, kind of that side of the thing. So that's how I kind of partition it into use cases.
But then if you, so but you're basically going to use, if you are a security manager or maybe even an IT manager, would you really start from the performance system management use case, the group of use cases, or would you try to say, well, we're going to be hacked unless we have, well, we're going to be hacked regardless, but we're going to be hacked and wouldn't know what hit us unless we have log management. So would you use performance before security, really?
It depends. I would say it depends a little bit on what stage of a company you're at. For us, we're a smaller startup, and for us, it's all about getting the product out and making it work. And for us, it's really important to know about the availability of the services. We need to make sure that everything is up. They need to be fast. We need to see what users are doing. Is the application throwing errors? And even before that, we started with the debugging use case. That's really, I'm instead of using your print statements inside of the code, we instrumented the application to output debug logs to figure out what is really going on. So yes, for us, it's definitely been the availability performance use cases over the security ones. It's also slightly different because we're really focusing, in our case, on the application logs, and we are kind of instrumenting our applications ourselves to log all of that. And I think probably a lot of the listeners are not necessarily in the same boat that I'm in, but they're more looking at the sort of infrastructure layer log files from the operating systems and network devices and such. And in that case, it's probably more the security use case that's going to drive this whole thing.
Actually, I think you've stumbled upon something quite important here, because I think for many senior managers, many CIOs, even not of the enlightened variety, I think availability argument is a very good argument. In some cases, people focus on the investigative aspect, because, for example, I like to highlight incident response forensics kind of use cases higher on the list. But availability might be even more compelling, you're right. If you connect login, collection of logs and review of logs with availability and maintaining high uptime, that can be your business case, right?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. This is very, very tangible. And I think if you actually do it right and you are collecting the right logs and you have the right kind of log management architecture set up, then you can get the kind of immediate bang for the buck by looking at your availability. And as a side effect, you sort of enable your security forensic use case that if something happens later, you can actually go back and figure out what really happened. So I think it's almost easier to justify your log management efforts through availability or even performance, because it's really hard measurable. This is what happens. This is what the gain is, instead of kind of the security case where, well, if something bad happens, we will have everything. And then you get into the arguments of, well, what's the likelihood of something happening? What are the threats? What are we protecting from? What should we do? If you can try to come from a different angle, I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And in fact, even making the connection between, if you get logs for availability, you can use the same logs for figuring out what happened, also for security incidents. So you're going to hit basically both availability and incident response use cases.
Absolutely. I think it sounds very compelling. I think the devil there is in the detail that you can actually instrument your log sources in a way that you can use it for both. And it's not always that these logs or all the logs can be used for both use cases, but I think it's probably an interesting approach.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point. I was just about to make that same similar point as well, that sometimes strictly application developer created logs, which were useful for debugging, become completely useless for audit purposes. Essentially, they become those proverbial print statements inside code, and they might not be connected to the security relevant events such as authentication, authorization, system changes, failures, that type of stuff.
Yes, I hear you. And this is, it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. I've been thinking about this quite a lot lately. The whole, what kind of log records do you actually write in an application? And the naive approach is really what you just mentioned. Like, you go ahead and instead of doing a print statement, you just do a log statement of just a unstructured string that just says, oh, I'm here, I'm doing X, right?
Yep.
What I've been writing about and also trying to enforce here at the company is a more structured approach of always logging certain pieces in every log record. So I want to know what the user is that was logged in when this happened. I want to know what machine it happened on. I want to definitely know what time it happened. So there should always be a timestamp. But I kind of wrote about this in some papers lately about some logging guidelines. And I really feel that the application developer community could really use some better guidelines on how to go about the logging and making the logs more useful than just for the application developer that built a certain piece of code and it helped him maybe building it in terms of debugging, but leave the debug statements in there for later and being able to kind of gain visibility into the application while it's running in production afterwards.
Yep. So essentially you're going to build some kind of a hybrid log which is useful for debugging at development stage and useful for security at the operational stage.
Exactly, right.
That's brilliant, I think.
I think it's just a rethinking, right? It's kind of like the analogy of if you are writing code, then you write your piece of code and you make it work somehow. But if you have a little bit of a security background, you might think about how to write this code secure. And you do input checking and you might do output checking or output validation and transformation. It's kind of the same with logging, I think, where in the security world, everyone agrees we need to do this. We need to educate people to write secure code. But I think it needs to come that far that people are realizing, well, we need developers to actually write code with good logging. And here is what good logging means.
Yep, that makes sense. So that's also would give you sort of a two-prong approach to the business case justification. You can say that you're going to, by doing the same things, but doing them well, you're going to gain both availability advantage, which is useful for IT ops team, for the CIO, sort of direct his own metrics, and also the same very same logs would be very useful for incident response and forensics, so you're going to gain that advantage as well. So your business case would be strengthened by this dual approach.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. By the way, I realized you are thinking so much about internal logging inside the app. Have you seen some ugly examples of internal logging inside log management tools?
Inside? Oh, wow. I'm pretty sure if you're going to dig in our code, you'll probably find some examples in there as well. You know, it's interesting, like thinking back at some of the companies I worked before, there is some ugly logging going on there, and I'm sure a lot of users of SIEM products probably have seen that, where I'm not sure how much in the details I should go.
No, don't go there, but it's pretty clear that people who spend their lives and charge a lot of money for parsing others' logs, and they curse under their breath while parsing really bad logs, would sometimes produce really ugly logs themselves.
Yes, you know, and I think it's just natural, right? Because it seems quicker to just write a string into a log file that is not structured than thinking about all the different pieces and making it nicely key value pairs and nicely structured. You go the road of the least
resistance.
Resistance, exactly. Thank you. You just write something in there without thinking about it twice, and it works for your immediate purpose, but then later on it starts to bite you where you realize, oh my God, what did I do? I should have thought about this a little more. I think until we have better libraries or ways that sort of help the developer making it the developer's life easier to write good log messages, we will still see the thing that we have today with not so good log messages.
And not so good, I guess, would win the understatement of the year prize, right? Yeah, well, you got that. So another thing we discussed sort of before the podcast, and I wanted to bring it up now. So would you actually justify the business case as separately for login, for log collection, and log review, or would you go and justify your business case as a comprehensive login and log management story? I kind of like the whole trifold division here.
Yes. I mean, I think everybody that has a log project probably understands that it's not the technology that justifies the solution, and just having logs in a central place doesn't really help you. You need to come from a use case perspective. So be that, you know, I have to comply with certain compliance mandates, or I want to tackle certain use cases. I think that's really what it comes down to, that you need to map out the whole process from A to Z. This is what I want. Here is the technology I need. I might have to centralize it. Here's how I collect things. And then once I have it all centralized and collected, here are the different things I have to do on top of that to actually get the value out of it. And just having everything centralized might make your auditors happy because now you have the audit trails accessible, but you also need to kind of build your processes on top to really make those logs work for you and make them actionable.
Yep. And by the way, I don't always like when people say simply having logs put together in one place is not useful, because for many organizations, that's a huge step forward. And so we understand that you have to have good login, logs put together, and some logic for review. But for people who are just barely moved from having logs to having the log collection infrastructure, I think for them it's a huge step, and it's a step forward.
I totally agree. And I mean, we could take this in a completely other direction here also. I mean, once you have it all centralized, then what do you do with the data? And how are the log management tools and SIEM tools helping you to get the value out of the log files that you really want? But I think that's probably a whole separate podcast you could do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yep. And another thing is I wanted to top this off with is to say that some people actually expect the business case to only say things like, you're going to save money, you're going to save time, you're going to make money, and obviously you cannot make time. So this whole dangerous, slightly ROI-like direction where people don't just want to say, oh, you're going to gain visibility, you're going to gain debugging, troubleshooting. They want to say, how am I going to quantify it? So will I save money or will I save time? Some people are kind of want to have that in their business.
And I think that's really what it comes down to, right? And I think it's the right kind of question to answer. In the end, having all the log files automatically centralized and accessible for you to look through if something happens saves a lot of time in the case of something breaking. If you centralize all your log files and you actually have some automatic ways of looking at them to see whether you have any performance issues, makes you or allows you to quicker react and knowing where to specifically go and fix the problem instead of having to spend hours and hours and a lot of resources to figuring out, well, where is it breaking? Where are the performance issues happening? So in the end, I think having those use cases and looking at those things, you will be able to break them down to resource saving resources and making things cheaper that way also.
Well, and if these debugging and these application performance and security issues end up making your application more expensive, so you're also saving your direct cost. I mean, product development cost and product operation cost. So to me, that's also even direct money savings.
How do you mean it? How do you mean like making it cheaper?
Well, if you want to charge $100 for your app, but you end up spending $30 keeping it running because you have to hire really skilled super wizard system admins to keep your boxes in check and tool that can automate some of the log analysis tasks, you might be able to get by with less expensive personnel or having them work on more exciting projects, that type of stuff, where you sort of reduce costs by doing log analysis.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. By the way, while we are nearing the end, I wanted to see whether, in your opinion, the business case for login, log collection, log management, and the full SIEM would be different. I'm sure you cannot justify the purchase of ArcSight or Novell Sentinel or something of the sort by using only debugging arguments. You have to have some kind of a big security argument, right?
Yes, it's a very interesting question, actually. For me, I always draw the line between log management and SIEM or SIEM or SIEM, whatever you want to call it, where you talk about correlation, real-time correlation. And log management, for me, doesn't have that. SIEM does. That's the big kind of difference. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. I wouldn't throw an SIEM into our environment here. It just wouldn't make sense. I think there are multiple reasons for this. One is SIEMs are very focused on security use cases. That's just historically been that way, and it will stay that way for quite a while, and yep. I don't want to get into details of why, but it has to do with their architectures. So if you have a security use case, I would probably look at a SIEM. The other big difference of SIEM and log management is the data collection part, where log management tools often at this point, you don't need specialized connectors that do the normalization, and you have to have a connector for each data source. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the SIEM world, you do need it, and the reasons being that you actually have to understand the structure of each log file to being able to do correlation on top of it. That has a lot of impact. One is that it's just much more expensive to implement and also to purchase a SIEM solution, and makes it much, on the flip side, a log management solution is much easier and quicker to install. Mm-hmm. So in but case...
You lose the real time, or rather, you lose the near real time operation completely. You're going to have your logs in a few minutes.
Correct. Yeah. Well, you still have the logs collected immediately, and even in a log management solution, but they're not actionable the same way as they are in a SIEM, because they're not parsed. You don't know this is the username and this is the source and destination address, and you don't have that kind of knowledge built in. So, yeah, I think it's if someone really looks at the SIEM or the security kind of situational awareness, the correlation examples, then a SIEM is a really good place to go to implement these things. Some SIEMs also try to go a little bit into the availability and monitoring space, especially kind of network monitoring, which is very close to security, and they start building content for that also, or solutions, whatever they're called. And that's definitely interesting for environments where you really fit into their thinking. Like, you have a Cisco environment with AKA firewalls or PIXs, and they really support your devices, and they have some good content around that helps you monitoring these things. That can definitely speed up a kind of logging use case implementation, because they have a lot of these things already built for you. But in a lot of cases, especially when you go into the application layer logging, then you're going to have a lot of hurdles that you have to go through if you have a SIEM to kind of support your data sources and make that actionable and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of keep talking around, I guess, your real question here, that would I be able to justify a SIEM? I don't think so.
Well, so with SIEM, you're going to start not with debugging, not with availability, not even maybe with savings during the incident response process, but I guess you're going to still make a good classic argument from the back of the 90s that SIEM would help you detect threats faster, right? In near real
yes.
time. That would be the main gist of it, right?
I think that's probably a fair statement, yes.
So if some organization knows that their processes are completely not set up to respond in near real time, like, for example, for them moving to a monthly log review would be a big step up. They're
yeah.
definitely not ready for a SIEM. They might generally need a SIEM eventually, but they're just not ready. If you plan to respond in a month, you don't need real-time correlation.
And I think a lot of people also underestimate what it means to get a SIEM. You know, SIEMs can be a super useful, time-consuming, resource-consuming installations, but you have to realize that just throwing technology at your problem is not going to solve your problems. Even if you buy SIEM X and the PCI solution or application on top of it, that doesn't mean that suddenly all of your PCI logging related issues are going to be solved. You still need to go and you need to tweak things. You have to teach the SIEM about your environment in terms of what are the assets in there, how critical are they, what is living where. There's a lot of work involved in setting things up and configuring it and really getting the value out of it. So just whereas in the log management kind of use case, I think it's a little more straightforward, and you get probably a quicker return of investment than with the SIEM.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's also it's also more broad because you use logs for multiple types of uses in use cases. So as you mentioned correlation, I typically draw the line somewhat differently, even though the logic is pretty much the same. SIEM is about S, security. Log management is about L, login. So whatever you use logs for, you use log management. If you want to collect security information, you use SIEM. I think
that's a good point. I think you're mentioning the S for security. And it's really not just the log files, but it's also all the other pieces of information, the vulnerability information, the asset information, and so on, that really plays into the whole correlation example. I mean, it's a good point.
Yep. So at the end, let's give some quick action items to our audiences looking for some specific advice in regards to justifying the business case. Let me start, and then Rafi, you can complete some things. So we didn't mention compliance as a justification because it's on everybody's mind. Certainly don't lose that. If you can still push through using PCI, HIPAA, FISMA, whatever else, you can still use that, the mandate du jour, to justify log management. Beyond that, some of the arguments, some of the business case builder tips presented today was try to look for availability as an argument, and then also maybe use a dual approach where logs that are created and used for maintaining system availability can also be used for performance measurement, as well as for security uses such as incident response, forensics, whatever other things. So this is kind of a dual approach which does not necessarily use compliance.
Right, and this actually, I think, to kind of close the loop here, this probably feeds, like, improving your availability and performance helps you getting customer satisfaction, which then kind of closes that circle and brings you more users, more satisfied users, your system scales better, you have better visibility, and it keeps going.
Yep, and you also save time and money while resolving issues. And okay, by issues, we don't mean just security incidents. We mean performance issues and security issues.
Yep.
So if you have to have a direct computation of how much you'd save, you're going to use the time saved argument to justify it.
Yep.
Perfect. That was a perfectly good number three podcast. So looking forward to future editions, and I'm sure we're going to invite Rafi as well in the future. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.